Hare Krishna. The nice hot weather that we had is gone. Last night came a storm, it became very windy, cool, rainy, temperatures gone quite down. It's 14 degrees right now, and yesterday at this time it's more like 24. No doubt it will warm up, although my sense is that probably summer is over. Another summer is over, and but we didn't really have many hot days. The last few days since Janmashtami Vyas Puja, they were good. They were really hot days, and a couple of days in June. Aside from that, it was quite mild. Here's three questions from a Sadaka Das. I assume this is not an initiated name, maybe. He's asking, what happens when a disciple and a spiritual master are both engaged in management, and the disciple sees that the spiritual master doesn't make such good managerial decisions, but he's spiritually a sound Vaishnava? How should he relate to him in order not to have bad relationships, impair the guru-disciple relationship? It's a very interesting phenomena, not new, because the same situation was with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was a manager, and he was managing, and despite the fact that he was managing, we also kept a very wonderful relationship with him, reverential relationship, and yet Prabhupada was open and invited feedback, aside from the fact that Srila Prabhupada was a great manager. Communication is the key, and those communications have to be established from the outset. It has to be very clear in the relationship between disciple and spiritual master that now that they're engaged in management, that the disciple has to do as a part of the management board or someone who else is involved in organizing the affairs of ISKCON with the spiritual master, that he has to be able to communicate, talk back in a way that he wouldn't necessarily to a spiritual master who's just giving a Bhagavatam class. He has to be able to give his own opinion on managerial opinion issues. He has to be able to disagree. He may even necessarily want to take things to a higher authority if he thinks that something's not good. He has to be able to do these things. Otherwise, the service to ISKCON becomes compromised. The service to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna is compromised. And ultimately, that is the essence of the guru-disciple relationship as well. How are we going to be serving Krishna together? So it can't be that in order to respect one aspect of the guru-disciple relationship, we're neglecting another, namely the service of the Lord. But those parameters have to be clearly established through good communication, and then a devotee has to be feel reassured that he can communicate whatever needs to be communicated, and that he will be heard, and the spiritual master has to be open to hear. Not necessarily the easiest thing, because of the natural reverence and respect for a spiritual master, and it means that both guru and disciple and spiritual master have to actually go back and forth from different identities. It has to be very clear, and sometimes spiritual master may say, okay, now I'm talking to you as your spiritual master, I'm not talking to you as GBC, or temple president, or whatever the position may be. Interesting thing, but something that we, situation, but something that we certainly need to be able to do and balance in ensuring the success of Srila Prabhupada's mission, because as Srila Prabhupada says, generally, a person should accept the spiritual master of the person who's nearest. So it may be that someone's manager, GBC, temple president, is the person who's nearest, who he hears from, who awakens one's faith, so that both of these relationships are then manifest within the same person. Sometimes we hear or there's some proposal that actually sannyasis, gurus shouldn't manage at all. In one sense, it would certainly avoid conflicts of interest of another nature as well, which I'm not mentioning right now, as well as this type of problem. But my stand on that has been that let devotees who are good managers manage, and those who are not good managers, then they shouldn't manage. Whether they happen to be gurus or not is really a detail, because in the ultimate issue, Amara Agya Guru, everyone is meant to be a guru, whether Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru. The next question is, yes, what about when the spiritual master is not involved in any kind of local management, but his opinion is that things are not being managed well, the disciples are not being nicely taken care of, that something's amiss. How should he communicate that? Well, one way he should communicate it is through the disciple. Whenever someone has some kind of disagreement with authority, you go to the authority himself. You don't go underneath the authority. That undermines the authority, number one. And number two, it also places the onus or the burden of trying to resolve a situation in the hands of those who can't do anything about it. It just causes bewilderment, in this case, on parts of the disciple. Rather, let the disciple continue on, unless there's some kind of emergency situation. He's being told to sell drugs, engage in illicit sex, or so on. Then let him continue on in the service and work things out with the local management. And if for some reason that doesn't work, then the spiritual master should go higher and go to the authorities of the local management and resolve things like that. I'm talking in general situations and non-emergency situation. And the last question that he asks is, why is it that we see that the devotees who have been practicing Krishna consciousness 20, 30, 40 years succumb to sex life and fall down? Is it due to offenses, or is this Krishna's arrangement? No, it's not Krishna's arrangement. Krishna doesn't arrange for devotees to fall down. He arranges for devotees to go back home, back to Godhead. And it's by our own negligence that we fall down. If devotees have the paramdrishpa, the higher taste, which both attracts them towards Krishna and keeps them away from the influence of the material energy, they won't succumb to the allurements of sex life, and ultimately they'll become immune to it, because their heart will have become fully purified by the process of Krishna consciousness. However, if we don't properly execute devotional service, if we commit offenses, then yes, we may not actually be getting that higher taste. And in due course of time, we just can't resist the temptation of material energy. For that reason, we need to be extremely careful that devotional activities do not become mechanical. We don't become mechanical about our Krishna consciousness, but rather we practice our Krishna consciousness with faith and determination, enthusiasm, and feel ourselves naturally progressing. And of course, for that, chanting 16 rounds, following regulative principles, attending morning program. So these are the things that, when they're done with real absorption and determination, allows one to progress forward in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, one remains slowly, moving forward, if at all, and very easily distracted from the path of Krishna consciousness by material energy. So, but in no case should we consider, oh, this is just Krishna's arrangement. It's not Krishna's arrangement. That's thoughts for today. And Hare Krishna to everyone, and be in touch again tomorrow.